Father, I thank you as always. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. We open our hearts, Lord, to receive this light. And let our hearts also perceive and understand what the Spirit is saying, even to the church. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. So today, I want to talk about, you know, faith. The subject title today is Faith Reloaded in the Face of Adversities and All Odds. Faith Reloaded Against All Odds and Adversities. Well, what does that mean? You know, as you think of even this message, as you see it, what comes to mind immediately? You can react in the chat room. Reactions are welcome in the chat room while we are speaking. What is it that comes to mind right away as you see this topic? Well, there are many keywords or several keywords in this title. We see faith, we see reloading, we see odds and adversities. Yeah. So basically, we want to look at the posture that we must adopt when we are going through. That's the posture that we need to adopt. And sometimes we wonder why we need to go through these things. But that's besides the point. If you're going through, you're going through. How do you get through it, you know, in a way and manner that doesn't leave you less of yourself than when you started? I mean, if you are, you know, entering a conflict and you come out completely battered and wounded, that's not a good thing. You have to go into that conflict and come out a winner. That's right. You know, and that is good. It makes you feel good that you went in, you got the victory, you come out. Yeah, you're good. But come out of it, black eye, bruised, battered, everything, broken bones, broken ribs, and everything. You know, that's not a good thing. The position that we need to have is not the one of coming out with broken bones, blue and battered and bruised and everything. You know, when we go into conflict with the devil, we got the power. You know, so today, you know, just in line with some of the exhortations we've been giving lately, this piece has been given on my heart that, look, people need some more encouragement. So I'll be reading through some scriptures, perhaps share one or two stories, you know. But the key thing is, you know, what is the posture that we need to maintain, you know, when we are going through? And what are adversities? What do we mean by against all odds? You know, I mean, why do things, you know, why can't we just scale through everything? Why doesn't everything just work out smoothly right from the beginning? You know, why do we go to fight and struggle and all these things before things come out right? Well, it is what it is. But, you know, the tools that we need to make sure that, you know, when we go through these fights, these battles and so forth, you know, we don't come out wounded, or we don't remain wounded like that. You know, come out as a winner. Praise God. And the attitude, the posture is also very important. You know, now let me read as our text today, a little bit from Romans chapter 4. I want to read from verse 17 is where I'm going, but I'm going to probably read a little bit. Let me see where I can start. Okay, well, I'll just start from verse 17. It is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was God that spoke to Abraham. A father, he said, of many nations. Now, he, Abraham, believed God, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were. So, you know, God quickens the dead. You know? We're not told here that God buries the dead. You know, God brings dead things back to life. That's what quickening means. And he calls things that are not as though they already are. Now remember, we are made in the image of God. Carry the same attributes, that God had. Now this Abraham, we're told, who against hope, that's against all odds, he believed even while he was in hope, believed that he will become the father of many nations, you know, according to that which was spoken. He said, well, so shall thy seed be as the multitude of the stars and as the sand of the sea, sure, innumerable, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, you know, this is one critical part that we want to talk about today. You know, don't be weak in faith. Well, if your faith is weakened, how do you strengthen it? How do you reload it? We're talking about that, you know. And, he considered not his own body now dead. It was close to 100 years, maybe 99 years. And it was almost 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He himself considered that, he was old. His wife, old, but yet there was a promise that they will bring forth that child, that through that child there will be a tremendous increase and bring a blessing upon, all, really, all nations eventually. And we're told that because he believed God, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was strong in faith. But there are times when your faith may not be that strong. At times when your faith may be weakened because of, maybe the burdens are just too heavy, the challenges, and the situation just seems impossible, Now, seemed is the word. Not that the situation is impossible. There is nothing really impossible with God. And there is nothing impossible to him that believes either. But sometimes the situation might actually seem impossible. It might be like a mountain that seems insurmountable. It just seems like that. It's overwhelming. What do you do in such cases? Sometimes you believe in God and things are just not panning out, like we thought. What should we do? When we're faced with adversity and obstacles and different things, barriers and things, now these things happen to everybody in life, but the devil tries to take advantage of it to impede your progress and, to diminish your joy. Many people, when they're really going through stuff, it could be financial, it could be whatever else, they find it hard to bring themselves to a place of joy. Let me tell you, one of the number one tools I want to talk about today, when you're faced with so many things, particularly financial difficulty. Let's look at a story of a man in the Bible. I love to talk about this particular fellow all the time, even the last few days I've mentioned his name many times, but let's look at his story again. This is Habakkuk in chapter 3 of Habakkuk. We read from verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Just think of all the things that he's talking about here. In the farming world, and they depend on, the vineyard. They depend on also their cattle rears. They depend on cattle and so forth. All these things can be cut off. nothing happening in the vineyard, fig trees not blossoming, no fruit on the vines. I mean, there's no harvest. You know, maybe this year, maybe for a couple of years. The labor of the olive shall fail. I mean, you do all these things, but it does not work, don't produce anything. The fields are yielding no meat. The flocks are cut off from the fold. And there's no herd in the stalls, you know. These people, they measure their wealth by the number, the largeness of their flocks and herd. You have 1,000 she-asses, so many cattle, and so on. And if you have nothing, what do you have going for you? Nothing. What is his response, though? You see, because this situation can put you in the blues, so to speak. You know, but you have nothing going on. Maybe you can't pay your bills, mortgage, or finances, or whatever. You just can't do it because of hard times. You know, now, those external things like mortgage, bills, and situations, and, you know, things that you need to take care of that need money, for instance, you just can't do it because you don't have enough. You probably don't even have enough, you know, to make ends meet, like people say. Well, there's one thing that those things should not be able to take away from you. And it says right here, this is what this man says. In the midst of all those adversities, in those situations, he proposed in his heart that he's going to do something. And this is the thing. This is one of the tools I want to talk about today. He said, look, yet will I rejoice. Although all those conditions exist that we just read, he said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Now, there's something that he's going to do. There's something the Lord's going to do for him that he's believing God for. We'll read that in a minute. But this is something that he himself is going to do. He is going to get his head, you know, from the ashes. And he's going to rejoice. He's going to anoint his head. He's not going to carry the melancholy, gloomy face. He's going to rejoice. This is something intentional. I say, I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, I'll have my joy in the Lord. It's not going to be the money and the things that are, whether there or not, that's not going to be, you know, my thing. I'm going to rejoice nevertheless. The book of Colossians, you know, chapter 3, we're told, set your affection on things above and not on things beneath. You know, if you set, you know, the reason people go into depression, one reason is, you know, when their affection is on these earthly things and then these earthly things are not there, then they go into depression. But set your affection on things above. Hallelujah. I am going to rejoice in the Lord. You know, joy is a melancholy breaker. You can't have joy, you know, unless you are intentional about it. You know, it's something that God has given us, but you have to be intentional in rejoicing. Rejoicing is an act. You know, I am going to rejoice. I'm good. I just make up my mind. I'm going to be cheerful. I'm going to rejoice. You know, whatever it is, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not going to let the external situations around me, you know, becloud my mind to the point where I cannot rejoice. Once you have lost your joy, even worse things will begin to happen. Now, joy is an antidote to even worse depression and different things are happening. In the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 12, we read that because joy has withered from the sons of men, then everything languishes. You know, things get even worse. And you might say, well, you know, it's my situation that got me into that. Well, that could be true. Habakkuk admitted it. He didn't say those things were not there. He said, well, those things may be there, but here's what I'm going to do, despite those things being there. So Joel chapter 1 verse 12 says it this way. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth, just like Habakkuk was talking about. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree, the fields of the trees of the field, even the flocks of the vine may be cut off. The flocks, and the herd may be cut off and things like that. There may be nothing going on, you know. And he said, why? This one gives a secret. He said, because, you know, this is the why. Because joy is withered from the sons of men. Therefore, all these things that should be springing up, they're languishing and they wither away because joy is withered. You know, there's something that God has put in us, and if we know how to harness that thing, it can actually influence things around you. Let's talk a little bit about Adam. The situation with Adam at the beginning. When God created Adam, remember we are told that he created Adam, but made him in the image and likeness of God. That was always in God's mind. And when God saw the man, he said, yeah, it's very good. And from that point on, the Lord just said, look, I can relax now. Adam, you got this. You know, that's it. Adam, you got this. Because there was something about Adam, you know, that would make things flourish. There was something about Adam that made, you know, everything just docile. You know, there was no wild animals. There was no wild plants. There was nothing, you know. There was this thing. It was just like oozing out from within him. There was an aura around him. They looked to Adam and they were enlightened. Everything. You know, so even the Lord, he took a seat, a back seat, on the side, but back seat. You know, he's like, look, hey, Adam. What are you going to call this one? And whatever, because the Lord knew he had already put in Adam everything he needed. Put in him the breath of the living God, the Spirit of God. Carry the cosmic knowledge of the Holy Spirit. It was already inside of him. Deposited it in him. He had everything. God said, you got this. You tell me. What are you going to call this one? I said, well, I tell you, we call this one this. God said, cool. What are you going to call the next one? And he brought to him all the animals and different things. He said, look, whatever you say goes. That's it. Because there was something in Adam, you know, made him to be able to function like God. Could function like God. You know, and that was the case. That was the way it was until the fall. You know, until they chose the word of the devil over the word of the Lord. And that's where we have all these problems today. You know, now, there was this thing that was with Adam. Influence of Adam upon nature. When Adam was in the right state with God, his influence upon nature, that everything was well behaved, even plants. There was nothing wild. They became wild after the fall. Plants began to grow poisons, thorns, and different things. You know, just like rebellion because they were no longer receiving that unction from Adam. While Adam was walking around with the glory of God upon him, he didn't even need to say anything. Everything was in order. Everything was checked, you know, just by his presence alone. But when he lost that glory, according to Romans 3 and 23, it said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. when that he fell short of that glory, then all of a sudden there is nothing to influence his environment anymore. Things started to go wild. Animals started to grow wild. You know, animal, you wild everything. You know. Yeah. So joy when he withers away from the sons of men causes the vine to dry up, the fig tree to begin to languish, the pomegranate tree to dry up, the palm tree also that's always flourishing. I mean, palm tree always flourishes. But when there's no joy, you know, the person that's supposed to be maintaining those things, you know, remember, God put Adam there to maintain the garden. And when the joy dried up, they were running away from the presence of God, then everything else dried up, you know. So we got to get back this joy. So important, according to Joel chapter 1, verse 12, and according to Habakkuk also. He knew that he had to use his joy. And let's get back to his statement in Habakkuk 3 and see, you know, once he began to get himself into the wheel, W-H-E-E-L, of joy, once he began to get himself into that, well, let's see what happened next. He said, well, when I begin to rejoice in the Lord, you know, I begin to recognize him again as my strength. Hallelujah. The strength of my days will return. The Lord God is my strength. People are weakened when they are in sorrow, you know, when they are in distress, when they are depressed. They're just weakened, you know, but through the joy of the Lord, through rejoicing, the Lord begins to become your strength again. That's a cycle, you know. And he said, he will make my feet like hinds feet. Instead of dragging my feet in sorrow and so forth, God is going to put some impetus, even in my, you know, I mean, even in my stride, joy will come back. You got to springs back in your, even in your, the way you walk. You're not dragging anymore. You're not morose. You're not melancholic and all that anymore. You know, the joy of the Lord is moving things in, you know, action. And the Lord, he said, will make me walk upon my high places. But it started with him. He was already in his low places, lost everything. But because of his joy, because of his determination to rejoice in the Lord his God, he said, look, things will begin to come. I begin to experience the strength of the Lord again. And the Lord began to quicken my pace, you know. And my goodness, you know, spring is coming back into my walking, you know. I'm beginning to feel anew. Nothing has changed yet, but something is changing on the inside. External hasn't changed yet, but the inside is changing. And then finally, he said, well, the Lord's going to give me victory over this situation. Set me upon my high places. Get me out of the doldrums. You know, get me out of the ashes. But I had to do something about it first. He had to determine to praise the Lord first and walk in the joy of the Lord. Now, even though you don't see everything blossoming yet, you can begin to praise the Lord. You can begin to rejoice. That's something the devil should not be able to take from you. But if the devil is able to take your joy and your ability to rejoice in the Lord because he touched things around you, then you're lost. You know, and the devil said, you know, to God, you know, this man is happy in the Lord, is walking in the integrity of his heart. Well, but if you touch all the things that he has, touch his finances, let everything collapse and everything like that, you'll see. You think the man is walking in his integrity of his heart and he just sheweth evil and feareth the Lord and does all these things. Let me put my hand and touch all those things that you have blessed him with. And you'll see what it will do. That's what Satan said to God about Job. So your situation may be also, you know, maybe the devil is using the fact that those things, you know, he may be the one touching and he may not be the one touching. But it just be situation that the devil tries to take advantage of it. you know. So when those things are not going right, and then all of a sudden your heart and your mind, they're sunken, you know, and you don't have the joy of the Lord, then the devil's won. Because that's what he wanted. But you need to show him that, look, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Job said, look, the Lord may slay me, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh, but I will bless the Lord. He said, it's not going to matter to me, you know. And he held his integrity. And this man, Habakkuk, held his integrity. You know, the next thing that you need to do, you know, we've talked about your joy. Let's talk about your faith. I mean, these things are powerful things. You know, how do you reload your faith? You know, when people are sunken like that in depression, their faith is weakened. They can't even believe God for anything. They're just like, well, you know, situation is like this, situation is like that. You can't hear words of faith even coming. You know, that's the time you need to reload your faith. It's like, you know, you reload that shotgun again. You got to reload, you know. How do you reload? Well, this man used his joy to reload. Somebody else used encouragement within himself to reload. David was a man that knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. Well, how do you do it? You know, it could be through singing psalms and spiritual hymns, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It could be with you repeating God's word and, you know, just whatever. I mean, one way or another, he's encouraged his soul. He even said to the soul, soul, why art thou cast down within me? Psalm 42, verse 5. Why? Why are you cast down? Are you cast down just because I lost my job? I can't pay my bills? And these things are like this, the sickness or whatever. Is that why I would now be cast down? Well, he was cast down. You know, it's not like, you know, he wasn't cast down. He actually was cast down. But he found a way to dig deep and pull something out. Even in the midst of being cast down, in the midst of adversity, he reloaded his faith. Now, there's this story of Ziklag, famous story. I've told it many times, even here, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses. Yeah. He got himself involved, you know, something that he shouldn't have got involved with. The people that were with him joined with him. Yeah. They went and fought on this side of the Philistines for all, of all people. By the time they came, the Amalekites smitten the city where they lived with the edge of the sword, burnt everything down, carried away all their wives and everything. And the people came and lifted up their voices and wept. But the Bible says that they wept. The way the story was recorded, said they wept until there was no more strength in them to weep. I mean, how do you do that? These people cried so bitterly. There was no more strength in them. They wept, they lamented, they put their hands on their head, they put ashes, put everything. They say, wow. I mean, they were just thinking, what if I had just stayed back? What if I hadn't gone with David to this thing? I would have been here to protect my family. What if, what if, what if, what if? Every one of them now became angry against David. We followed you to this thing. You know, but some of them didn't want to go, but it was like, look, let's just go and do it, and so on. You know, help these people out. If they have peace, we'll have peace. And well, you know, okay, then they came here. Now, we lost everything. And they said, look, you are the one that brought this evil upon us. And they were thinking among themselves, there's only one thing to do. Let's bump him off. Let's stone him. There are people talked of even stoning him at that time because they were all grieved for their wives, for their sons, for their daughters. Everything had been carried away. They were grieved. David himself, wives, children, everything, carried away. His 2 wives and everything. So, but what did he do? He said, well, and David was greatly distressed, for all the people spake of stoning him. He wanted to do it. It was only the Lord that preserved his life. You know, because the soul of all the people were grieved because of all that they had lost. And said, so it was you who followed to this thing that didn't even concern us. So they wanted to kill him. You know, because of every man lost his sons, their daughters, their wives, everything. You know. And David was in a dire situation, about to lose his life for this thing. He had already lost his own family too, along with these people, but on top of it, he's about to lose his life. But what did he do? We're not told exactly what he did. I mean, how he did it. We're just told what he did. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, how did he do it? Your guess is as good as mine. This David is a man I loved to sing and tell of the praises of the Lord. And Psalm 42 could have been one of those situations where he encouraged and he spoke to his soul. And he said, you know, so why art thou disquieted within me? You know, what are you going to do though, you know, if your soul is in distress? We've seen what Habakkuk did. Let's take a look at what David did. We're told that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But, you know, exactly how? Well, this one doesn't say, but let's look at other places like Psalm 42. You know, when he saw, say, why art thou cast down? Psalm 42 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Troubled. You know, that's what disquietness means. Troubled. And he began to speak to his own soul. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Now, Habakkuk said, I will rejoice. This man said, I will praise him. So we get to see some of these tools. You know, this is how you reload your faith. You know, you reload your faith by being intentional in rejoicing in the Lord, recounting of his mercies of the times when he had pulled you through out of similar things before. Art thou not he that hath caught the dragon? I mean, dried the Red Sea and wounded the dragon. Is it not your right hand that hath done these great things in my life before? And then you begin to praise him. You begin to encourage yourself. Say, yet I will praise him for the help of his countenance. This is how you reload your faith. Your faith is down at the moment, but you reload your faith by reminding yourself that God is still able to help you. He's still able to make your feet like hinds' feet. He's still able to set you upon your high places. He's still able to bring you help. And you say, I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, I will hope in the Lord. You know, it is good, the scripture says in the book of Lamentation, that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Huh? That's Lamentation 3 and 26. You hope, you wait, you trust, but you rejoice while you're waiting. And you're praising the Lord too. You know, in Psalm 40, David would later give a testimony about some situations that he'd been through. He said, look, I waited patiently upon the Lord. Well, he was going through some stuff. But while he was waiting, well, he said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. You know, David said, I cried unto the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. So he was actually crying unto the Lord, you know. But because he was encouraging himself, telling himself to hope in the light of God's countenance, finally he said, well, the Lord brought me out of a horrible pit. You know, he brought me out of quicksand. Murray Clay, you know, when you are in quicksand, the more you struggle, the more you sink. Yeah, this man said, the Lord brought me out of it. He set my feet on a rock, established my goings. I put a new song too. Yeah, there was one song that you were singing during the battle. It's another song that you will sing after the battle. It's called a new song. During the song, during the battle, the song that you're singing is a battle song that reminds you of the things that the Lord has done before. That's a song you sing while you're in battle. Yeah. You know, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. What goodness? It's the one you have already experienced. You tell, you know, you'll be telling of what God already did. You remind yourself of it. That's a song you sing while you're in battle. After the victory, you sing a new song. Because now you've added, you know, there's another story that you can add to that song or that storyline. You know, your songs before were telling of the stories of what the Lord did before. Now you got a new victory. You sing a new song. You can now say, you know, at one time, maybe the song was, "Hey, the Lord pulled us by a mighty hand out of the land of Egypt. He saved us even when he sent the destroyer," and all of these things. "When he sent, you know, all the evil in the land, he saved us. When there was darkness in Egypt, he saved us. We had light." Now, maybe that was the song at one time. Well, after a while, the song became, "Blessed be the Lord who has thrown Pharaoh and his riders, the horse and the riders, as he's thrown in the chariot." I mean, a chariot and all these are thrown in the sea. And that's a new song. You know, so now you sing a new song. And David said, "Look, I will sing a new song. I'm singing of his mercies now. But after the victory, you add a new song. It gives you something to sing about. Another new song." See what the Lord has done. And he said, people will say, "See what the Lord has done." He said, "Look, I put a new song in my mouth. I knew how to praise the Lord all along, but he gave me another new song." Praise him some more with. For future scenarios as well, you've added something new to your song of praise. Many shall see it, you know, they shall see it. And even it will cause others to trust the Lord. Your testimony, you know, will not only be to the glory of God, it will bring even others to trust in the Lord. You know, because you've learned how to rejoice in tribulation. Yeah, that's why I say rejoice. How can you rejoice in tribulation? How do you joy in the Lord your God? Well, these are commandments. You know, it's intentional doing. It's not something that you can just do like that. No. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, fervent in the spirit, not slothful in business, you know, serving the Lord. Continue serving the Lord. Romans 12:12 tells you of all these things. When these things are going on, continue to do what you were doing before. Don't let these things take away from your service of the Lord. You know, if you were an evangelist before, you love to go out and talk to people, your neighborhoods and so forth. These are things you would do. You were serving the people. Maybe you are the people that love to give away food or give away tracts or do all of these things or help others or rejoice with others. Now, when in the day of your adversity, don't stop doing those things. You know, not slothful in business. Remain fervent in spirit. These are the tools. This is how you reload your faith in the face of adversity against all odds. What are everything the devil throws at you? Chicken and in kitchen sink and all. That's a phrase here in the U.S. Throw everything at you. You know. But you keep serving the Lord, right? Rejoicing in hope. You know, you are patient in tribulation. I waited patiently for the Lord. It is good that a man should both wait, you know, patiently wait and hope in the Lord. Hope and patiently wait for the Lord. Continuing instant in prayer. The whole time you're praying. you know, you're praying, you know, and you are believing God. You're reloading your faith, you know. And another way, you know, that you strengthen yourself, even while you are in need, you're still helping others. He says you are still distributing to the necessity of the saints. Giving to hospitality, even when you have almost nothing. You're still, you know, willing to help others who are in even worse situation. There's always somebody whose situation is worse than yours. You know, so, I mean, and these are the tools that, you know, help you to reload your faith. You take away, you know, your attention from just yourself. You know, Job 42 and 10 tells us it was when Job began to pray for his friends. You know, that's another way of reloading your faith. The things that you do to bring you back to the place of victory is what reloading faith means. You know, I start to pray for your friends. All of a sudden, God started to do things, you know. And now, again, you're blossoming in faith, you know. But, you know, your faith, you know, is critical in every situation. Paul talks about all the various kinds of things we should clad ourselves with in Ephesians chapter 6. Clad yourself with this, clad yourself with that, and so forth. But say, above all, taking the shield of faith. Ah, well, if that shield gets weakened or thrown down or something, you got to pick it up. You got to reload that faith. Well, another way of reloading that faith, obviously, is the Word of God. You know, read the Word of God to yourself. Speak the Word of God to yourself. You know, just like David. You know, David said in, let's read some things that he said in Psalm 118. You know, now, David had his share of problems. Yeah, just like everybody, perhaps even more than necessary, because David wasn't trying to be king. I mean, they didn't even invite him at first to the audition, you know, and the coronation ceremony. He wasn't even invited at first. He was just minding his business, minding the sheep. He wasn't planning to be king. It wasn't because of his, you know, ambition that these things came upon him. No. You know, but the moment that he was anointed king, it's like that anointing that was on his head also painted a target on his back, you know, and so was determined to kill him, you know, but it wasn't something that, you know, he was trying to be, wasn't trying to be king at the time, was just trying to be a shepherd boy. And all these things came upon him. And now he said, I called upon the Lord in my distress. This is Psalm 118. You know, and he began to say, and the Lord answered me, verse 5, and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You know, what can man do unto me? You know, we were talking about some of these things yesterday. You know, when we talk about the fury of the oppressor is broken. Yeah. You know, what can man do unto you? Why should you be afraid of a man? The Lord said, well, the Lord take care of my part again, you know, with them. Help me. And God will even send me destiny helpers. And I'll see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better, he said, to trust in the Lord and to put confidence in mine. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. But listen to this. Listen to his posture. All nations, doesn't matter, you know, compass me about, but in the name of the Lord. Now, this was this man's confidence. You know, it didn't matter how many odds are stacked against him, you know, in terms of numbers, in terms of anything. Say, all nations, be stacked up against me, all the odds against me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. So how many troubles are stacked up against you? Can you say like David said, in the name of the Lord, I'm going to crush the head of every one of those troubles. That's right. All the troubles, they compass me about. They compass me about, you know. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy. He said it again to himself twice. He said, well, in fact, they compass, troubles have compassed me about like bees. And like everywhere you go, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to shake one off and that one coming with you from another angle, you know, bees, they're just like that. While you're trying to, you know, drive off this one, your face, the other one's coming around your ears and your back and everywhere. Troubles are like that. You know, he said, look, in the name of the Lord, glory to God, I will destroy them. In the name of the Lord, I'm coming out victorious. I'm not going to lay down for anything. You know, this is a fight. You know, and he said, look, these, my enemy has thrust sore at me that I may fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and it's become my salvation. This man would always sing. And he will use joy also. Listen to this. The voice of rejoicing. And that's right. And salvation. That voice is in the tabernacles of the righteous. No matter what. Don't let the voice of joy depart from you. Once your joy depart, everything else will begin to languish. We already read that in Joel chapter 1. Don't let the joy depart from you. Find a way to get back in joy. You know, sing some hymns, listen to some praise music, whatever, you know, speak the word of the Lord to yourself, you know, psych yourself up if you want to use that language, you know, encourage your soul to be joyful. It has a way of producing an aura around you that can even influence things. That's what Joel chapter 1 verse 12 means. But if that thing is dried off, then everything else will fail around you. So reload your faith, reload your joy, you know. And David finally said, look, I shall not die, but I shall live. I declare the works of the Lord. And what is your testimony? You know, Paul said, this is how, you know, Paul handled situations. This was what he said. He said, look, I am instructed in everything. When things are good, I'm good. When things are not good, I'm still good. He said, I have learned in every situation, whether I have plenty, it's all good. Whether I have nothing, it's all good. I've learned to be in want and to be in plenty in everything. He said, doesn't matter. You know, by my God, through Christ who strengthens me, just like David said, my God, I can do all these things. Paul also said, well, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, no matter, you know, what I'm going through, listen to what he said. He said, I rejoice in the Lord, you know, because you sent something to me, but not that I speak in terms of one. This is Philippians chapter 4. He said, because look, I have learned, he said. I have learned in verse 11 of Philippians chapter 4. I have learned that in whatever state I am, therein to be content. Whether I'm up, I'm good. Whether I'm down, I'm still good. You know, I have learned both how to be abased, that's when you're down, you know, and how to abound when I'm up. You know, in everything and in all things, I'm instructed both how to be have plenty and also to be hungry and have nothing. You know, in everything and in all these things, I know both how to abound and how to suffer need. When I don't have anything going, I know how to, you know, get through it. When I have a lot going, I know how to rejoice. I mean, it's all the same to me. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. That was his posture. You know, these are people who reload their faith in the face of adversity and against all odds. You know, whether he's being persecuted, shipwrecked, from place to place, whatever, all the things that Paul went through. He said, look, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter, I mean 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Say, look, buffeted on every side, no matter what. But he had this posture within himself to say, look, I am not going to let any of these things get the better of me. You know, we're troubled on every side, he said, yet we're not distressed. Perplexed, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, that come against me all at once. But I am not going to lose faith. You know, faith, when you lose faith, when you lose hope, that's despair. You know, he said, no, I may be persecuted. I know the Lord has never forsaken me. You know, I may be cast down, but I can't be destroyed. Praise God. You know, you know, you cannot even destroy matter, can never be destroyed. You can, it will change from one form to another. Yeah, even physics, science, all these things will tell you. But you can't destroy it. If you burn something, it changes to another form. You can't really destroy it. Even science tells us that. Say, look, I can be cast down, but I'm not destroyed. You know, and I know the Lord is always with me. Micah said it this way. He said, look, when you cheap shot me, Micah chapter 7, verse 8, you know, he said, look, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. This is another way that he was reloading his own faith. He said, look, there are times when, you know, give me a cheap shot and I land on my back, but I will not stay down for the count, he said. You know, he said, look, when I fall, I could fall because I tripped, or I could fall because you knocked me down. Either way, I'm not going to stay down for the count. Glory to God. It's not about not being knocked down. It's about, you know, how many times do you get up again? The righteous fall 7 times, but he gets up again. I've been knocked down, but I get up again. Well, how long are you going to stay down when you're knocked down? You take the 8 count or you take the 10 count? If you take the 10 count, you're out. You know, but your corner will be saying, get up. And the other corner will be saying, stay down. You know, that's the devil wants you. Stay down. Stay miserable. Be melancholic. You know, be sad. Carry a long face. Don't rejoice. Don't participate in anything. Stop doing all the things you were doing before because you have hard times. Then the devil has won. But you will say, look, I am going to not be, I will not be slothful in business. I'm going to rejoice in tribulation. I'm going to have hope. I'm going to, you know, praise the Lord. I'm going to be joyful. This and this and this. You know, then the devil take his best shot. But also hold up your shield of faith. Now, those shields can be like 6 inches of metal thick, or those Romans army used to carry. Quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. He's going to keep shooting at you, but quench them. Everything he throws, you got your shield up. Praise God. And look, he's going to keep throwing stuff. And then you keep quenching them. And then sometimes too, you go on the offensive because you got your sword. I'm only going to be in defense all the time. You go on the offensive. Take the word of God and begin to change situation. That's how you go in the offensive. You know, use the word of God to reload your faith. Say, look, right now, I know things may not look like they're flourishing, you know, but God who calls things that are not, whose spirit I carry, whose image I was made in, well, I'm going to call this situation too. You call that situation too. Praise the Lord. Call it. You know, one time I preached a message at the church. I said, name your situation, yeah, prophetically to bring prophetic positive change in your life. Name that situation, you know, change the situation. You know, people in the past used to name their situation opposite things. You know, they say, you know, like, you know, story of Naomi, Ruth, and so forth. Say, hey, you know, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Because she was naming the opposite direction. She said, evil has befallen me. why are you calling me blessed? But Naomi means, you know, pleasant and all these things. You know, no. He said, bitterness is my life. So she called her. But on the other hand, see, you can name your situation positively. Hallelujah. There are some people that name their situation positively. Name your child even positively, you know. Say, hey, look, this is my situation, but this is what I'm looking to be. You may be this way now, but you're looking to be that. To name that situation, you know, you say, currently, I am forsaken, and currently, I am despised, but you name your situation, Hephzibah and Beulah. That's it. You know, in Isaiah chapter 62, that's what the Lord said. He said, look, whereas you are called forsaken and rejected and not chosen, I will now call you Hephzibah and Beulah. And you take that, you run with it. Abraham did exactly the same thing. You know, I mean, Abraham meant, you know, a father, but Abraham meant a father of many. And he changed his name. He said, the Lord told me. Okay. Well, you can say, you know, the Lord inspired you too. You know, change your name. Name that situation that is pummeling you. Name it something else. He said, look, I'm barren. You know, name yourself a joyful mother of children. You say, look, I am not married. Well, name yourself, you know, Beulah. You know, Hephzibah means you, the Lord delights in you. Beulah means you'll be married. You say, look, nobody seems to be able to delight in me. And I say, call yourself Hephzibah. You know, Isaiah chapter 62. Call yourself Beulah. Glory to God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken and rejected and so forth. Your situation today may be Lodabar. Name that situation as sitting among princes. Find a word for sitting among princes. God will bring you out of that Lodabar and put you among the princes of his people. But you reload your faith. You begin to be joyful. You begin to praise the Lord. You begin to rejoice in the Lord your God. You begin to, you know, testify. You know, you continue to do the things you were doing before. You don't give up on any of those things just because of situation. Some people stop going to church when they have situation. They withdraw as if that's the answer to everything. That's exactly the opposite. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to withdraw. He wants you to be a loner because you'll be an even easier target for him when you're all by yourself. Because there's strength in numbers. You know, when the deer are gathered together like that, the lion that's prowling, he doesn't know what to do. He can't attack them all. Just waiting to see who he might devour. The one that walks away from the pack is dead meat. It's just that simple. The devil himself looking, you know, when people are going through, I find out that's when they don't come to church. That's when they just disappear. No, that's when you need encouragement more than ever. You know, you need to be among people of faith that can help you to reload your own faith. You know, listen to how some of these people reloaded their faith. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 7. And some of you who have been here any length of time, you know, I gave this as a memory verse one time. I talk about it all the time. This is how Isaiah reloaded his faith. He reminded himself of something that the Lord already told him. But the Lord already told him in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, verses 10 to 13, I will help you. I will strengthen you with the right hand of my righteousness. I will do this, I will do that, and all the other stuff that the Lord told him. Well, things didn't turn out like it looked as if the Lord was helping him. He looked at, look, Israel continued to languish and all these things. He was a prophet of the nations and he, you know, those things were bothering. But you can relate it to your personal life. God may have told you, look, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But right now, it looks as if the Lord has left you and the Lord has forsaken you because, you know, you lost your job, you lost your money, you can't pay your finances and all these things. I mean, things are not there. I can't pay your bills. You know, this man said, what am I going to do? You know, well, what was his posture? What was his response? How did he reload his faith in the face of adversity and all these things that came upon him to distress him? You know, he said, well, here's what I'm going to do. You know, the Lord God will help me. He reminded himself what the Lord told him, you know, in the earlier chapters. I know the Lord God will help me. Therefore, you know, I'm not going to allow myself to be confused, confounded, just confusion and all of these things. No, I'm not going to let confusion of faces come upon me. I'm going to allow myself to sink into depression. I'm going to set my face like a flint. I'm going to put my game face on. I'm not going to let the devil see me cry. Woo-hoo! You know, these were intentional. These people were intentional in how they are going to reload their faith to come out of the situation that they are in, the depressed situation. They're not going to let that depressed situation depress them. The situation around you may be depressed. There might be economic depression, but you're not going to let your soul be depressed. You take care of that. You know, and he said, look, I will set my face as a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is how he reloaded his faith. He reloaded himself. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24, Paul again was testifying, you know, about all the things that he has faced. But his posture was that, look, you know, none of these things move me. That's what he said. Now, I mean, of course, you know, there were, you know, many things that he went through because of his previous life. When he got converted, even the believers didn't trust him because he used to persecute them and used to kill them or have them killed. So they didn't trust him. And even the Jews hated him. His own people were now believers. I mean, he was now a believer like the rest of the believers. They didn't trust him. Fightings within, fears without, whatever. I mean, he was always in these situations. But he said, look, whether I, you know, there's evil that lays ahead of me, if someone tells me when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound, the Jews will do this to you. Say, look, none of those things move me. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a powerful position to be, you know. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life down to myself. Don't even try to, are you trying to break my heart by telling me all these things? No, leave me alone. I'm going. Praise the Lord. You know, so that was the posture. And he encouraged people to have the same attitude. You know, he said, look, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, look, don't let yourself be moved by things that you go through. You know, no man should be moved by these afflictions. Whether my own affliction that you are hearing of me and then you feel sorry for me, or your own affliction that comes upon you, you should not be moved by these afflictions. No man. And this is a posture that we need to adopt. Don't be moved by afflictions. Instead, determine that you are going to rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, these are testimonies. Look at what he testified in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. He said, look, I don't care what comes up against, same thing like he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He said, look, all these things. He said, look, actually, we are more than conquerors. I mean, not just a conqueror, but even more. See, I come out unscarred. You know, I go, you know, when I'm facing the situation, I'm going in it, knowing I'm coming out of it, and I'm going through. And I know that, look, whether things present or things to come, angels or principalities, things up or when I'm up, fine. When I'm down, fine. Whether it's angel, devil, no problem. Whether it's things present, no problem. Whether it's something that someone says, oh, this thing is coming in the future. No. So none of these things move me. In all these things, he said, I am more than a conqueror. You know, economic situations, problems that are present today, problems that are going to come tomorrow, you know, up or down, he said, it doesn't matter. Persecutions even can come. Famine can come. Nakedness can come. Peril can come. The sword can come. All these things can come. You know, it's like almost like we're dying all every moment. You know, like life, you know, is dealing you a rough hand, like people say. We are counted as sheep as a slaughter. He said, but no, in all these things, you know, these things are designed to keep you down, to steal your joy, to kill your dreams, to destroy your life even. That's what the devil, John chapter 10, verse 10, comes to do. But Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. Now, he said, look, in all these things, I'm more than conquerors. Glory to God. Because I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Now, this is Paul's testimony. It can be yours too. It's a posture that Paul assumed. Neither death. You know, even if you are facing death, right? Sure, death right now. It doesn't matter. You know, life, death, angels, devils, principalities, good or bad, up or down, things present, things to come. It doesn't matter. He was always reloading his faith with this stance that, look, no matter what, I will not give in and I will not give up. Praise the Lord. You know, one of my other favorite, I'm going to split this lesson into two for the sake of time. But one of my other favorite verses is also Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Again, it's another way of you shaking yourself, you know, reloading your confidence in the Lord. When people are not, when there's, you know, sad, distressed, grieving, they put ashes on their hair, wear sackcloth and all these things. So what they used to do in those days, the scripture said, look, enough of all of that. Shake yourself from the dust. All the things that devil put against you, you know, put them off. Lose yourself from the bands around your neck. Now, you come against those things with the word of the Lord. You say, thus saith the Lord that breaketh gates and cuts asunder bars of iron. All these gates that are trying to impede my progress and prevent me from going forward, I come against you in the name of the Lord. Open ye the gates that I may go through. Let the gates be open. I begin to speak to your situation. Yeah, don't take it lying down. You're in a fight for your life. But don't let it get the better of you. That's what I'm trying to say. When it looks like nothing is working, that's when you should rejoice even more. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. And he's going to make my feet like hinds feet. And he's going to set me upon my high places. And you begin to prophesy to the situation. You prophesy to the dead bones, the dead things in your life. You know, instead of saying, well, no, it's over. And singing the blues. Some people say, sing the blues. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I hated that song since I was a young man. I wasn't even a person of faith like this, but I mean, I was a person of faith. I just didn't know it. I hadn't discovered the faith, but the faith was inside of me. But, you know, as a young man back in the 70s, the first time I heard that song, I hated it. I was like, what kind of song is this? What kind of melancholy, you know, nobody knows the blues. As if, I mean, you just try to be sorry for yourself. Look. And I said, no, I'm not going to bury myself. What blues? There's nothing that you're going through that nobody else has gone through before. There's nothing new under the sun. And people say, oh, you don't know what I'm going. What is it you're going through that somebody else hasn't gone through? Praise the Lord. You know, your attitude, how you're going to deal with it, and how you are responding to that situation can even either lengthen the situation or shorten it. You know. Yeah, if you give in to the strategy, then the devil knows he's got an advantage over you. You know, but if he does, if you don't give in, you, devil tried everything, but you say, look, this one, you know, he's always rejoicing no matter what we do. And they'll move on to somebody else. He's looking for who to devour. When he finds he can't devour you, move on to the next. Mosey on down the street. Find somebody else. Not me. Not in my house. You take charge over your house. You put the blood of Jesus. That's right. They did that in the Old Testament. They put it on the post of their house. In this house, oh, no. This house is under new management. You kick the devil out. Say, no, that's not going to happen. Not on my watch. And you maintain your posture like that. And you say to yourself, like David said in Psalm 3 and verse 3, the Lord is my glory and the lifter up of my head. And I will lift up my head. I will not, you know, let my head be bowed down and so forth. You know, and so on and so forth. Let me summarize what I've said here. A few more things that I want to say maybe tomorrow by God's grace. But let me summarize what I've said here. Faith is a powerful weapon that you need. Because, you know, we're told in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that, you know, when you put on the whole armor of God, above all, you take the shield of faith. You know, so but so the devil knows that. And therefore, he would try to weaken that faith. When he tries to weaken that faith, you know, read it for yourself. Above all, taking the shield of faith. This is, I believe, verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. Take the shield of faith. So the devil knows that. Also, 1 John 5:4 says, you know, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So your faith is what you use to overcome these things. So the devil knows that. So he will weaken your faith by all these things. When you see that your faith is weakened, you need to shore up your faith. You need to reload your faith by some of these things we have talked about today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to leave it there for today in order to allow shares and reactions. But I believe I'll have part two by the grace of God. And when I have part two, perhaps tomorrow by the grace of God, I'll cover a few more things. You know, how, you know, to use the attributes of God that are inside of us, respond to situations. Praise the Lord. You know, you need to know who you are. And what God says about you, not you cannot be defined, and don't allow yourself to be defined by external situations that are around you. Things that are happening, the loss of your job, the loss of this, you know, something and something that happened around you and so on. You can't allow that to define who you are. You know, on the inside, who are you? Praise God. And if you can build up that joy from the inside, it can actually bring life back to the things around you that are withered because joy withered away from you. When you if you're able to restore that joy, revive the joy, find something that brings a smile back to your face. Instead of frowning all the time, being sad, being melancholic, sing psalms, you know, making melody, your heart unto the Lord, and sing spiritual hymns and psalms and different things, brighten up your face. Don't carry a long face. That's not going to help anything. That's only going to give more ammunition to the devil. So we reload our faith by being intentional, rejoice in the Lord, by encouraging our soul, by using the word of God to name that situation, by reminding ourselves of what God already said, you know, by encouraging yourself through situations and so forth. You, all these things, you use it to reload your faith, you know, until you become victorious. And you go in, we knowing that you're already victorious. You know, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. But this one, garments rolled in blood, confused noise, Isaiah 9:5. But you have the power, the burning fire and fuel with you, you know, and use that refuel your faith, reload your faith, and come out a winner. You say it's easier said than done. No, it's not easy. It's a practice. You practice it, you know, until it becomes part of you. And you pour water on a duck, D-U-C-K. They just shrug it off. You know, it's just like they build this, there's some of this oily thing that's on their skin. It just, the thing just shakes off. You need to develop that aura, spiritual aura around you. Shake off these things. Shake up yourself from the dust. Lose yourself from bands around your neck. Go upright. Don't be bowed down. Praise the Lord. God bless you for listening. I tell you, the devil doesn't like you to hear messages like this, you know, that will, you know, you shake yourself and, you know, rejoice and so forth. God wants you to be down. And if you are down, he wants you to stay down. Yeah, but no. When you are down, you get up. Holy Ghost is in your corner. The angels are in corner. I am in your corner. Your brethren are in your corner saying, get up. Get up. Don't stay down for the count. Get up. You can do this. And the Lord said, you can do this. You got this. He said, I got nothing. The angel of the Lord told Gideon, say, you got this. Gideon said, I got nothing. Look at, I'm hiding here, Midianites and all this stuff. You know, the angel said, yeah, I know you got this. I'm going to send you for it. You're going to deliver Israel. You got this. He said, look around. Who are you talking to? I don't look like I got nothing. Yeah, I got anything. And I said, yeah, you got this. I see this fire in you, and I know I can use that. Praise God. There's something that's in you that the Lord knows about. God. He put it there already. Now, you got to discover that part of you that is a conqueror and more than a conqueror. Discover that through trials, adversities, odds, and so on. You know, bring out that champion in you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. This is Walking with God. We are now reminding you that we're trying to change average believers into champions of faith. Everyday believers, you know, you can come into this room, but, you know, the Lord is transforming you. You're becoming a champion of faith. You don't want to just be a pushover for the devil. You know, that's it. That's what the Lord is doing here. So we welcome every one of you. We thank the Lord for this day. I'm going to pray and close the lesson. Praise God. Father, I thank you for today's lesson in hope against hope. Lesson of reloading our faith, even in adversaries, even against all odds. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that these words, people will remember, reload your faith, or faith reloaded. When you're down, you say, I'm not staying down. I'm getting up. When things are falling apart, you say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. When it looks like the opposite direction of what God has promised, you name that situation. You call it what it is not, but what you want it to be. Because that's what God did. Call things that are not as though they already are. Call the barrenness fruitfulness. Call the darkness light. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Change the day, the name of the darkness. Change it today. Change the name that when you say you are forsaken, you're rejected. Change it to Hephzibah and Beulah. Change your name from Lodabar to sought out. The Lord said you will be a city sought out. That's right. I say they sought him out from Lodabar. You will now be sought out. Glory to God. You will no longer be rejected. You will be married too. Thou shalt be called sought out. Praise the Lord. You change your name to these things. And this is how you reload your faith. And the Lord will give you the victory in the name of Jesus. And at the end, you have a new song. There's one song you are singing in battle. There's another song you are singing after the battle that adds the new victory to your song line. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.